The following audio is from Lifehouse Church. We hope you are blessed by this message and encourage you to connect with us on social media or at lifehousechurch.org.
Where in your life are you holding on to even the slightest glimmer of hope that the sun will rise on a brighter tomorrow? Like me and many of you, lives have been dramatically and forever impacted by death. You've lost someone that you loved, and you can't even imagine how you can face tomorrow without them. For some of you, it's been a long time since they passed, and you still are having a difficult time facing tomorrow without them. And when you're going through loss, you experience deep mourning and grief. And in these seasons of great grief, you can feel lost, you can feel empty. And when there's this feeling of emptiness, others react to that and they feel like they need to fill that space. And so I've had people say things, you've had people say things to fill that space. It's gonna be okay. You're gonna get through it. God's with you. They're in a better place. They're an angel in heaven with God. And every time you hear those things, they ring hollow. They ring hollow because they don't fill the emptiness and they don't fix the emptiness. And so how do we deal with the inevitability and the horrors and the pain of death? I think for many, we live in denial of the inevitability of death in the future, or people live in haunting fear, or maybe more than fear, they just try to ignore it, or they fight against it by holding on to every moment and everyone, never letting something pass for fear of it getting out of control or out of their hands. Or they just pretend like everything's okay and no one's ever gonna die until it happens. And any comfort that we offer each other can often feel shallow. And so we feel helpless and hopeless. What can I offer someone who's walking through the deepest loss and grief? What can anyone offer me when I am resurfacing my grief or experiencing fresh loss and grief? Well, what I appreciate is in the sacred story of God and how God interacted with man, he did not leave out this chapter of death. No, in the story of God and man as recorded in the Bible, you see page after page of the reality of death. In fact, more than just the reality of death, this is the story of Easter. The day of Easter only makes sense when you remember the day God died. It sounds ridiculous. Maybe you never thought of Easter that way. Easter reflects on the day God died. It sounds ridiculous. It even sounds sacrilegious. It sounds absurd. How could God die? And why would God die? See, when God came and became a man on earth, Jesus, his teachings were revolutionary. He was a revolutionary. He was a radical, so radical that there were some who declared that they would die for him. So radical that some declared they would kill him. And that's exactly what they did. Killed Jesus, killed God. And when God dies, the day God dies, silence. Where is God? To those around wondering, where is God? The people who love Jesus and people broadly left alone in the darkness without hope.
The very ones that he created and created to love turned on him in hate. These powerful leaders and persistent crowds insisted that he be crucified and killed. His blood was on their hands. Look at this glaring contradiction. The creator of all, the one who made all of life and made it to live forever, the one who made the ground, was placed in the ground by the ones that he made from the ground. Jesus, the light of the world, sent into darkness? This doesn't even seem right. Clearly, this doesn't even seem right. Until you see that Jesus had a different insight about his plight in the ground. Let's look at John chapter 12, verse 24. Then Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds indeed." Now this little agricultural picture here, this isn't something amazing to us. I mean, this is quite simple. This is actually elementary biology. The idea of a seed breaking in the ground isn't exactly groundbreaking information. But Jesus is doing something here. He's saying that the same way that a seed will go into the ground is the same way that I will go into the ground with no intention of staying there. He's telling us, Jesus is telling us, on a Sunday like today, No, don't take my death for granted. Oh, there's a big difference between being buried and being planted. One means the end. The other is just the beginning. But Jesus wouldn't have had to be planted if it wasn't for our sinning. I don't know what is the more difficult thing to say on a beautiful day like today. That an innocent man had to die in our place, or that it was because of us that he even had to die at all. Come on, go back to that seed and soil picture. Think about contaminated soil. If soil was contaminated, it would not only fail to produce life, but it would kill the life that already exists. That is sin. Sin is the contaminant of the human soul. Sin is what withers us back into the ground, into death, and then the ground is chasmed between us and God forever. Because sin for us is all the things that we do and all the things that we are, that everything is, that God is not. Now Jesus, however, Jesus going into the ground would be like a cleansing for the soil, a cleansing for our souls. Jesus going into the ground, meaning his death on the cross and then being buried in a tomb, that would give us the chance to be forgiven of our sins. Hold up. That changes everything. That's a game changer. Even all the way to death, to whom we are no stranger. Think about your average weekend. Now start with Friday, okay? Friday, Saturday, Sunday, because for us, a weekend is an escape from work. But for Jesus, on this weekend, for us, it was an escape from much worse. When you think about Jesus in the story, you think about those days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, his journey, and we know about all of these days and we know their sound. Here we are at Sunday. What was Sunday's sound? The sound of salvation. Just like today, the sound of songs and the sound of singing. Friday was different. Much different. the sound of Friday, Good Friday, a Friday that wasn't so good, that sound. Friday was the sound of suffering and sorrow. Jesus is the man of sorrows. Friday was the sound of his impaling. Friday was the sound of his nailing. Friday was the sound of crying. It was the sound of wailing. Friday, in one word, Friday was the sound of violence. So what was Saturday's sound? In one word, Saturday was the sound of silence. Silence. Silence in the sky, silence on the ground, silence all around, silence in the tomb, silence in the town, silence on their voices, silence in their tears, silence in their fears. Just silence. It was as if the entire world was in denial. But meanwhile, in a realm that we couldn't see, in a realm that's above and it's below and it's all around, it's even within you and me, the spiritual realm. Meanwhile, in the spiritual realm, a storm began to brew inside of the tomb because the gates of hell were being stormed by none other than whom? Let's ask 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. It says that he was put to death in the body, but he was raised alive in the spirit. And when he was raised alive, he made a proclamation for all of the spirits, loud enough for all of hell to hear it. There was a thundering at the gate and a light shining so bright that it wouldn't cease. Who is that? Banging at the door like the police. The gates and the chains and the prison cells all begin to rattle. The psalmist knew who it was. It's the Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Not even the gates of hell could hold back the boss. All Satan could do was jab at him with death, but Jesus fired back with the cross. He said, not one soul will be lost. No, not on my job. So he took back the way, he took back the truth, he took back our life. I think hell just got robbed. Spence, bro, chill. I mean, there's kids in the room. I know, but I can't help it. I'm so full from an empty tomb. And when Jesus left, all that he left was an autographed copy of the blueprints for the church. And he said to hell, I dare you. I know where you live and I know where you work. All right. So maybe this is all just speculating. Maybe this is nothing more than just artistic articulating. The Saturday scriptures, the scriptures about Saturday, they have theological mysteries. And I didn't illustrate all of that to contest your theological degrees. Look, I just know that the scripture clearly reads that Jesus went into the grave and he came out with hell's keys. So you tell me, because all that I see is that even death isn't your enemy when God is your victory. The resurrection of Jesus becomes your resurrection life. You were made to live forever, and his death is your life. The best part about Jesus dying and in the tomb where he laid is that that was not where he stayed, and that we gotta celebrate. Come on, let's stand. Listen, he was Monday's Messiah and Tuesday's table turner. He was Wednesday's word on the street and Thursday betrayed after his Last Supper. On Friday, he faced it all. And on Saturday, in a tomb that was a lend, death. death was not the end.
Jesus didn't just rise from the dead. He put death to death. He shamed shame. He cursed the curse. And he went down and he pillaged hell. That's right. Imagine hell like a great prison. And when Jesus went down, he broke open the prison doors and he set the captives free. And he loosed us from eternal judgment. That's what Jesus did when he rose from the dead. See, death, the crucifixion, his burial, those weren't just key moments. Those were a stage for a miracle. Why don't you go ahead and have a seat? Here's the deal. If life ends in death, then by all means, let's take advantage of every moment. Let's live it to the fullest. Let's hold on to it as tight as possible for as long as possible, as desperately as possible. And when it ends, we grieve without hope. I mean, where's the hope? In life that ends forever in death, where's the hope? Where's the help? Where's the future? But if life doesn't end in death, if death ends in forever life, then there's something more. Let me read to you this moment, captured in the gospel account written by Matthew of the greatest moment, the greatest victory in all of history. We read in Matthew 28, verses 1-7, where it says this: after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, that's Easter Sunday, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid." There it is. Let me be really clear to you. This is a moment that changes every moment. Wherever there was fear, whatever you need to be worried about, you do not need to be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. Do you notice something? They roll back the stone, and Jesus isn't in the tomb. He's already out. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he had been laid. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. This is it. This is history changing, world changing, life changing, eternity changing moment. And it's this: Jesus' resurrection is your resurrection. See, Jesus didn't die because he deserved to die, and he didn't just die because eventually he would die. He died for us. Jesus was buried. He pillaged hell for us. Jesus rose again, not just because he's God who is victorious over death. He rose again for us. His resurrection becomes our resurrection. His life becomes our life, and his victory becomes our victory for anyone who is trapped in the cycle of believing that life ends in death. Life has no hope. Trapped in the spiritual corruption of sin, God came to set you free. And what better day than Easter, the day where we celebrate that God is victorious over death, where Jesus rose from the dead, to put your faith in Jesus Christ. And if that's where you're at right now, can I encourage you, would you make that commitment to believing in Jesus, acknowledging that you're putting your faith in Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior, as the God who gives you victory over sin, over death, over eternal judgment. When you believe in Jesus by faith, he changes everything. And so I want to invite you, would you respond right now? In fact, across all of our campuses, would you take a moment and just close your eyes? Because I'm going to invite you to respond. Those of you right now, you believe in religion, you've done church, But have you put your faith in Jesus? Have you experienced his life in your life? Have you allowed his resurrection to become your victory? And if today you are ready to say yes to Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, would you make that commitment right now? And would you let us know? You can raise your hand high. Raise your hand high and let us know. Yes, I am saying yes to Jesus by faith. I believe that he died, that he rose from the dead for me. Again, would you raise your hand high? One of our greeters wants to come and put a card in your hand, a card that we're gonna invite you to fill out and bring out to the Raise the Life banner, our Next Steps banner for one of our pastors, or you can drop it in the giving boxes. If you're joining us online, you can click the QR code that we're putting up. But we want you to say yes to Jesus, and now I wanna take a moment and I wanna pray over you. Jesus, thank you because your victory is our victory. Your death on the cross bought us forgiveness. You paid our penalty. You absorbed our eternal judgment. And once you paid the price for our eternal judgment, you opened up the prison gates and you set us free. And now, God, because we believe in you, we experience not only forgiveness, but new and forever life. And we want to say thank you for that gift of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, here's what I want you to know, that God changes our stories. That's right. Life change happens here. Through the story of Easter, your life has changed. You have a new story. You have a new life. We encourage you to tell your story. Tell your story to your friends, to your family. Let us know. We want to celebrate with you as you begin this new life change story. Now, let me keep reading for you. If you jump over to the same account in John chapter 20, these are the next moments. The author John writes it this way. Now, Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they put him." At this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. And he asked her, I love this, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Now, Jesus knows, but he wants to ask a question. He invites a response, thinking he was the gardener. Why? Because Jesus was buried in a garden. So she just assumes he's the gardener. She said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And as soon as Jesus says her name, she falls on her knees and begins to weep and embrace him. Here is the moment. This is what I want you to catch. There's something important going on here. Jesus was crucified as an act of obedience to the Father, God, outside of the city, outside of the garden. He was crucified to pay the penalty for our sins. And he was buried and then resurrected in a garden. And that's why Mary mistook him for a gardener. Now, this is interesting because go back to the beginning of the story. Where do we first see God interacting with man? Well, I can tell you, God created everything. God creates a garden and he creates man and woman in the garden. What day did he create them in the creation account? Day six. So the first day they live, they go to sleep and they wake up, their first full day. You know what day that was? That was the seventh day. And in the account, it says that this is the day God rested. They wake up to God at rest with them, meaning this is a day where they are resting in relationship together with a God who created them and created everything. A day where they can enjoy relationship with God. Now, they're going to have days of work where they take responsibility for and tend to and have leadership over all of creation. But on this day, they rest. Their first full day is a day of rest. Here's why this matters. Because Jesus resurrected, buried in a garden, resurrected in a garden. Jesus' resurrection restores garden rest. Adam and Eve reject God. God would come to them, and it says that he would walk with them in the cool of the day in the garden. But they reject relationship with God. They choose to do what they want, and they sin, and they turn their back on God. Their disobedience caused them to be driven out of the garden, where eventually they would die as a result of their sins. So Jesus dies outside the garden, outside the city, for our sins as an act of obedience, buried and resurrected in a garden to invite us back into the garden where we can experience garden rest, garden restoration, garden relationship with God. That's right. There's this direct picture here. Why? Because God wants us to live in that deep relationship with him, in garden relationship and garden rest. The kind of rest where your heart is in relationship with God, no matter what's going on around you. And what that means is when you experience the resurrection, with Jesus' resurrection brings you Eden rest, it's the kind of rest that isn't lost no matter what the circumstances are around you. And you know that there will be troubles. There'll be crises, there'll be tragedies. Eden rest means peace in the midst of your troubles and your storms. And there are certain troubles, there are certain storms. Let me remind you, Jesus defeated death. He put death to death. He shamed shame. He broke the curse by becoming the curse. He pillaged hell so that we wouldn't have to go. He broke open the prison door so we could be set free. And he offers eternal life through faith in him so that you and I, no matter what the chaos around us, no matter what the trouble around us, no matter what the storms around us, we have rest, Eden rest, in the midst of our troubles. We have Eden peace in our storms.
Thank you for listening to audio from Lifehouse Church. We believe that through Christ, life change happens here. So we invite you to connect with us further by visiting lifehousechurch.org.